with a very, very special guest, and we are planning a few things already because, as we both told you earlier, we can't let this continue. All of us have got to get involved, and we all are. And, Dan, you know, the Reverend Brown brought with him a couple of calendars.
This is with Mothers United Against Violence. Let's start there because we're going to do an entire program on this. Reverend, what is Mothers United Against Violence?
It's a grassroots organization that was founded by myself and a group of mothers in 2003 because of the fact that so many of these mothers, so many people in Hartford were losing their lives, and violence was relevant and prevalent. So I put it on my heart to say, look, we need to do more. And I was sitting in my office at the time on Martin Street, and I was talking with mothers, and I know we were trying to unite against all this violence that was prevalent, and I just came up with this idea. Why not get mothers together, and not only just mothers, but other people to come and be involved, but use Mothers United Against Violence at the overhead, because usually when we were doing vigils or doing rallies, there always be the mothers that were most affected by this stuff. And after, what, 14 years now, it's still vibrant. Our membership is stagnant a little bit because we live in a community where people can't come forward like they want to come forward because of the fear that I'm not going to be protected if I turn in these people who are going to protect me. We have this no snitching rule that is crippling our community. But Mothers United Against Violence, we've been prevalent out there. Out of this organization, we have come up with, in June, we'll be celebrating our 13th year, our Day of Remembrance. That is the day where we get all the families together, and we come up and we get this big event for them to bring their children, keep their children's name alive. On this march that we are doing April the 9th, we are carrying over 400 crosses with people that have been murdered in Hartford since 2001.
How many?
Over 400. Over 400.
Can you
over
imagine?
400, close to 500 now. And what we are doing, what we do is we raise awareness. We are saying, look, many of these people have been killed. Many of these people's crimes have never been solved. It's matter to these families that these people do know, have some closure. And that's what we do. Not only that, we do anti-violent presentation. We try to go into school. We try to talk to students. We try to meet people on the street. We talk to people on the street. We let them know that if you are in any kind of oppressed situation, anything we can do, we can help you. We raise awareness up with our city leaders. You must do more. You know, it's like the system is broken, but it's so many parts of the system that's broken because we just can't look at one phase of it and say, this is a problem. It's everything that needs to be repaired in the system. You can't blame state agencies. You can't blame the governor. You can't blame the mayor. But you can say we can do more. As people, we have to do more.
Well, I'll tell you, Dan, this is right up our alley.
Right.
Right up.
No
and we've got something. And why don't you just what we want to do here?
Well, I mean, we're going to do something. But I want to get to Keon Huff for just a moment. You knew Keon?
I've seen Keon. You know, Keon... I know I've seen this kid up over hallways, what used to be Weaver High School, now up on Tower Avenue. I've seen him in my passing through the YMCA. Keon was a vibrant kid. Keon was the type of kid, if you see him, you could like him because he's had that personality. You know, he was just a happy-go-lucky kid, but Keon had problems. And sat here and said, you know, he wasn't affected by what's going on in the streets of Hartford. I'll be lying. We lost him to the streets of Hartford. I think that what the most relevant thing here is that, you know, when you talk about a 15-year-old, they really have to have structure in their life. You know, young people have to have good parenting. You know, you got to have good mentorship, you know, and you have to have people. When you see a wayward child out of control, at least pull him aside and say things to him. And Keon had those people in place to help him with. But I think that the most important thing that we're missing was that strong family structure. I think if he had that strong family structure, we'd have been able to save this child.
Is that what is missing in a lot of areas, the lack of that family structure?
Yeah, because it's so much that is not in place like an average family. You know, excuse me. You know, in an impoverished neighborhood where, you know, where people are scrambling to make a living, other things you have to do to provide for your family. You know, the father might not be in the household, the mother might be working three or four jobs, and at that time, that's the one to tend to the children as they're growing up. So all these things are important. That's why we used to use the phrase, Brad, it takes a village to raise a child.
I want to ask you something. You just hit on something that is really bothers me. This whole thing about, and you mentioned the father. I go to First Church. I met mothers with their children and fathers as well. But why is it there are so many mothers that have children and they have got to provide what the children get, the food, the whole thing? Why is it? Why, Reverend, why does this happen?
Well, again,
why aren't the men there for them?
Because we go back to the thing. I always blame welfare. I always say that if welfare was never given to these folks, the father still be in the household. You know, you got to understand something. Look, many times the father want to be there. Many times they can't be there. You know, I'm not going to blame the father, but I do. I blame the men because I think that no matter what happened with a family, if you impregnated a woman and you have a child by that woman, you should own up to your responsibility and say, that's my child, and I don't care what situation I'm going through with this woman or whatever's going on in the community, that's my seed. I'm going to pull him aside. I'm going to raise him right. I'm going to make sure that he grow up and be a productive citizen in our society, because that is the most important thing right now. Because if you know you have a child and you know you live in this community and you know you got to have your hands on your children to make sure that they are safe.
Okay, hold that thought. We're talking with Reverend Henry Brown, also looking at the life of 15-year-old Keon Huff Jr., fatally shot on Garden Street on Friday night.
The morning, and Dan and myself, we are here with Reverend Henry Brown, who is a driving force in Hartford, and we're trying to get together and do something to put a cap on this, what's going on in the city. 15-year-old Keon Huff Jr. over the weekend in Hartford. It was just incredible what happened. And again, Reverend Brown, I was shocked at the number that you just gave us. You say it's closer to 500?
People have been murdered in Hartford since 2000.
Can you imagine in a
Absolutely.
City, the capital city?
Absolutely.
Where are the guns coming from?
Many of these guns are, they're being stolen from people's homes. Many people from the suburban areas are bringing guns in and trading them in for drugs out of the city of Hartford. I just wanted to pound on that for a minute. Look, if the folks from the suburban areas would stop coming into Hartford buying drugs, a lot of people would be living. They're fighting over these territorial stuff because they know people come from some areas outside of Hartford. They're going to come and buy these drugs. I'm not putting the entire blame on that, but it's a big problem. You know, people want those hair runs. They want the crack cocaine, all these type of things. And our young people are gravitating to these things. You know, there's that thing where I can go out in the street, man, I can make $1,000 in a day. Then why should I go to school? Why should I go get a job? These are the type of things that we are battling every day. The guns is the problem, but also mental health. It's the problem. You know, we talk about what can we do to improve the situation. You know, everybody have guns. You know, you can go out and purchase a gun. You know, but are these people in the right mind to have these guns? You know, we talk about how people purchase these illegal guns. I think it's a great thing to be fighting against, gun violence. Particularly what happened down in Sandy Hook with those kids, you know. And I thought that once that happened, Dan, in Sandy Hook, I thought, wow, okay, finally America's going to wake up and see the real problem. Guns are the problem, but it's deeper than guns. People with these guns don't have the mental capacity to have these guns. I wish we would focus more on the mental capacity of these people, such as some of these people have given up. They don't have hope that they're going to live. Many young people don't believe they're going to live between 21 because they come from these neighborhoods where not that silver spoon in their mouth, you know. Chief Rivella made a statement. He said when our kids at 10 and 15, they know more than the average person that 35 or from 25
That's
to 35
right.
in the suburban area.
Yeah.
They know more because they have to learn how to survive. And these are the type of things that we are facing every day. We'll find this injustice because it's a great injustice. People don't pour resources into the community to help these improvised people that stuck.
Didn't Keon Huff say that if he wasn't going to be a basketball player, he would be dead?
He would be dead because he didn't see no way out. We got to do more. We got to encourage our kids that there's more to being a professional athlete. We have to encourage these kids to let them understand that education is the foundation for success here in America. And if we're not establishing that with our kids when they are babies and they're growing up and they get addicted to those streaks, what happened is that this kid had opportunities, but what happened is that he got lost in the shuffle. Everything that's going on. I'm not going to sit here and blame anybody because it's too late to blame people. But we need to learn from this to become better.
Well, does this death of a 15-year-old shot to death, Keon Huff, it seems to have resonated with the community. Is it a wake-up call?
Yes, I believe that, Dan. I honestly 100% believe that. for years, I have been preaching on the streets, we don't need to lose a child to gun violence. We've been down this road before. We had a 14-year-old killed by 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, he was shot on the corner, right there from the YMCA, Jakeem Tully. We had Lorenzo Rowe at 14 was shot, about 14 years ago. But this shooting here, because of the magnitude of what has been happening with the guns and everything else, it has really resonated. It had hit to the core. It hurts. And we feel it, and everybody feels it. Now that vigil we had over 300-400 people out there, and everybody out there was for the reason that we're sitting on this show talking about now. We have to find ways to do better for our children. You know, these homes are broken, many of them are broken, but that doesn't eliminate the fact that we are talking about kids. And a lot of these kids are just out of control because they really don't have that guidance to put them in the place they need to be. We have soldiers out there that are trying to do all we can do. The Carl Hodges, the Andrew Woods, the Dean Jones, the Sam Sailors, the Henrietta Beckman. The list go on and on. To the people that are out there trying to do things, but these people often are overshadowed by these big agencies that are receiving the money, and the people that deserve the money don't get any money.
Well, are the big agencies doing
this? This is what I'm going to ask. Yeah. Are they doing anything?
I don't see. I know who I see. I don't see these agencies. I know who I see in our community.
Well, then we got to get to somebody,
right, well,
so they know where their money's going. It's not going anywhere.
Well, Brad, you know, again, you have people, because some people, motives are not what they say they are. You know, I don't have to pretend. I'm not going to pretend to try to get no money. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to let my work speak volume for itself, because if my work is saying something, then people should know that the organization we should give money. I want to say this, too. Look, I haven't been on a vacation in 14 years. I can't afford to, because all the money, everything I have, I poured into this ministry. I don't ask for nothing. Because I love what I do. I love my people. I love my community. And I'm standing on that. I'm standing on faith that whatever I need, God will provide it for me. That's why I do what I do.
Yeah. Wow. That's why you're here, too.
Yeah, Brad, I'm here to see my friend, you and Dan.
But, Reverend, we cannot continue down this road. I mean, like you said, we've been this way before, but enough already. When do we finally say that something's got to change in order to bring about a change in this culture?
Right. Dan, what needs to happen, that's why our theme is strength and unity. Our suburban brothers and sisters got to look inside and see. Don't look at this 1% of that one element, that 1% element that is doing these things, but look at the overall picture, the 99% of the people that are trapped in this environment, and they need support. And to pull it ourselves out of this situation, we can talk about what the police is doing, but I also want to challenge our community because it's a reflection of us. These shootings, we have to do more. You know, when you know somebody murdered somebody, and you sit around and you talk about, I don't want to get involved because it's a no snitching policy. That's a bunch of baloney. There's no such thing as no snitch policy when a person's life is lost. When you lose a life, you should tell the police what you see. If you see something, say something. You know, don't let these people continue to exist among our society and walk around like they have the power. They don't have the power. The people in the community have the power. But they have been stifled by this fear, and that greatest fear comes from that no-stitching code.
Well, what is this no-stitching code?
Yeah, no-stitching code. What is it?
Well, you know, when you see people, I'm not going to talk to, tell the police what I know. Because I don't want to be labeled a snitch, a rat. You know, it's just like the same thing in jail. You know, if you tell on a crook or criminal, it's snitching, and they believe in the things snitch will get this snitches, and people are afraid of that. You know, but it's been broken. We are breaking that barrier down with the constant work that we do because we tell our community, look, the right thing to do when another human being loses life is do what's right. Think about your family. Would you rather be terrorized like that? Do you want to know people to know they know who killed your loved one, but to sit on the information? How would you feel if it was on your doorstep? And now it's beginning to resonate because many people are beginning to see what we're saying is true. I go back to what I said earlier today. The police can only do so much. If the community is not working with the police, these shootings and these violent incidents are going to continue to happen, and that's why we are trying to abolish that negative attitude and bring these people to the realization that, look, if you believe in your law enforcement, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in empowering your community, then we can make a difference.
Well, Dan, we are right in the middle of it, you and me.
Now,
when
you spoke on Sunday night, you addressed this issue of no stitching. Talk about that.
You know, what I wanted to tell people was, hey, look, we are standing right here in the middle of something so heinous that, you know, and we are going to use that as screws. We're going to let the murderer still walk around and feel like he has the power. The murderer could be standing right here now in our midst. They have that. That's what they do because they don't walk in fear because they know if you say something, you believe they're going to take your life. But if you know he killed somebody, what makes you think he won't kill you or kill somebody in your family? We have to raise the awareness to the people. Yeah, you might be going through something right now, but if you know that guy standing next to you, just point him out to the police and say, he's the one that did it. I think after we did that vigil, Dan and Brad, I think the phone had been ringing off the hook for the police department because, look, people believe in me. They know that I'm out there for a word of cause. I'm out there to help these folks. I'm not ego tripping. It ain't about Reverend Brown, but it's about doing what's right. The truth will set you free. And that's what we have to do to continue to break down this cycle of violence. That thing about this no snitching is that you got to put the human being in front of it and let people know. We'll talk about a human life. This ain't nothing like you burglarizing somebody's house. This is not like you going into a bank and robbing a bank. Now, if you have a no-stitching code to that, that's your business. But when somebody's life is taken and you see that individual standing right there next to you, you should be paralyzed with fear. You should say, hey, officer, get this guy. He's the one that did it. But we don't do that. But I think now, and I can't elaborate about it, but I know, I'm confident that the police will be making an arrest real soon. I'm really confident in that.
Okay. Wow.
Now, Dan, we are into it.
You bet.
And we wanted to get into it.
And we
and
will
you
continue.
Can take our word. We're going to be with you.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
We are.
I appreciate that. To all of us. Suburban brothers and sisters, I hope that on April the 8th you put that date down on your calendars. Come and walk with us. You know, we're looking for some folks to come far away from Newtown. And another thing, we have established a wonderful friendship with people in Newtown. You know, these things are important because, after all, we all share the same pain.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get involved. And I know, Dan, you're already thinking
about
it.
We will talk again real soon, Reverend Brown. Thank you very much for coming in.
It was my pleasure. And I just want to say before I leave the air, God bless our city, God bless our police department, and God bless Dan and Brad. Have a
great
day, guys.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And we need that blessing.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you. Thank you.